Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 18. About 10 o'clock yesterday morning, I was enjoying some pancakes and eggs and bacon that my wife had made. I got a pretty good wife that makes me that kind of breakfast, and I was enjoying myself, and Alan calls me and he says, "You got to preach tomorrow because I'm not going to be there." So I quickly came up here, prepared this sermon. So bear with me. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 18. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you would shine a light on your word by your Holy Spirit. Grant us your spirit that we can understand it as it is preached. Lord, build us up in our faith. As a seed is planted in our hearts, may it grow 30, 60, 100 fold. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. At Christmas time, when we are children or even when we're adults, we have our wish lists. At the top of my wish list when I was a kid was the Nerf Turbo Football. This was the original one, the one before the whistle, right, just the red and black one. You could throw it across the world, except it wouldn't even go down the street. But another gift that I wanted was the Nintendo, the original Nintendo Entertainment System, with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. Alas, I got some socks and a sweater. Well, the gifts that we want aren't always the gifts that we need. And the gifts that we need aren't always the gifts that we want. Well, God gave us Jesus, and he wasn't necessarily the gift that we ask for or particularly even want. But he is the gift that we need. And if we have come to know him, now he is the gift that we want. And he is the gift who keeps on giving of himself. What we see here in Matthew chapter 2, Jesus is the gift the wise men didn't ask for, but it began to be in need of and began to want as they saw his star and followed the star. Well, Jesus is also the gift that King Herod did not ask for, and he had a different take. He did not want him, and he tried to steal away Jesus from all of us by trying to destroy him and kill him. So there are two ways to respond to the gift of Jesus. One is that you confess him as king, which is what the wise men were doing. And two is that you reject Jesus as a threat, which is what King Herod and the chief priests and scribes were doing. Well, the narrative picks up after Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph and the baby, they stayed in Bethlehem probably for some time, probably up until Jesus was a year and a half, maybe even 2 years old. And we see wise men coming from the east, coming to worship him, who had been born king of the Jews. We see that in verse 1 and 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They were seeking the one whom God was pointing to, these wise men. Sometimes these are called the kings of Orient, or as the Greek puts it, the Magi. They were seeking the one whom God was pointing to. They saw his star when it rose, and it must have looked like the star that apparently we're supposed to see tomorrow night as Jupiter and Saturn come together. They come together every 20 years or so. But they haven't come this close together in about 800 years. Hopefully this isn't news to you, but if it is, well, there you go. Watch tomorrow night. It wasn't news to the wise men because they saw a star that was similar in light. If you remember the creation account of Genesis 1, where God he makes all things, and he makes the one light to rule the day and the other light to rule the night. And then it says, and he made the stars. So it gives the stars a particular emphasis in Genesis chapter 1. And it says, along with the moon and the sun, the stars lighting up the earth. And now we see another star, which was giving light to the earth and pointing the way to Bethlehem, where the king of the Jews, the one who had made the stars, was born. And these wise men who were interested in astrology and they were interested in future events and dream interpretation, they had never been more wise than they were right now as they followed the star and they were seeking him and going to worship him and believe in him. Well, no, there weren't necessarily three wise men. We know there are at least two wise men because it doesn't just say one wise man. But there are possibly more than three, despite what your Christmas cards might show you. Well, Isaiah speaks of them in the Old Testament, the reading that Steve read earlier in Isaiah 60, verse 6. It says, "A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord." Well, this could have been a multitude of wise men from the east This was news for the whole world. These wise men from the East weren't Jewish. They weren't God's people from Israel, but they had ascertained that the sovereign would be born in Bethlehem, and they saw his star and they were following it. So God was calling people from all over the world from the very start. Everyone was invited to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Everyone is invited to come and worship him. This isn't just the King of the Jews. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us. This is a gift that God has given us that we could not imagine asking for. But he gives in the person of his Son for those who would believe in him, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, as Revelation 7 says, a great multitude that no one can number have been called. So there could have been three wise men, but their following and worshiping represents just a portion of the number of those who would come and have come and will come to worship Jesus. Have you come to know him? Have you come to worship him? Have you confessed him as your king? Well, one who had not made Jesus their king, who had not confessed him as king, was King Herod, because he was already king. He was king of Israel in Jerusalem. And much like the Grinch who stole Christmas, as opposed to the wise men who liked Christmas very much, King Herod, let me say that again, who liked Christmas a lot, King Herod did not. See, that was, bear with me. The wise men talked with King Herod. We see that in verse 2 and 3, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So we see Herod's response, that he was troubled, along with all Jerusalem, that Jesus was a threat to the throne. Herod's response, he calls all the scribes and the chief priests together, and they tell him, yes, it is true, the King of the Jews has been born, citing Micah 5, and they say that in verse 5, they told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Well, Herod was an old man by this time. He had been king over Israel for quite some time. This is the same King Herod that had built this Herod the Great, he had built the temple that was in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was an old man, and he was not about to give up his throne to a baby. So then he turned to the wise men, and he schemed to kill Jesus, lying to them. And verse 7 and 8, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Well, Herod wasn't going to come worship Jesus. He was going to come kill him. He saw Jesus as a threat. But ironically, Herod saw Jesus as a threat, not only from what the wise men had told him, but what the scripture had told him. Herod believed in the scriptures. Herod believed that what God was saying was true. Well, Satan also believes the scriptures. So do the demons. Even the demons believe and shudder, as James tells us. The wise men had come to worship the Son of God. God was their father, had become their father. Well, Herod's father was the devil. And the devil always sees God as a threat. From before the creation, the devil was trying to overthrow God's throne. And then he attempts to do that again in the garden. And we see that throughout the history of Israel. And then here again, we see that through King Herod, as he was attempting to stop God's plan of redemption by getting rid of Jesus before his time. Well, the wise men, they live up to their name. They hightail it out of there in verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way. Right? They followed the star. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them, it came to rest over the place where the child was. They follow the star. They leave Herod. Well, this is the lesson we can learn when we're confronted with the devil. That don't buy his lies. Get out. Hightail it out of there. Go on your way and follow Jesus. Jesus is right where he was supposed to be. Right where the star that God had used pointed them, pointed the wise men to the king. Right where that place was, to the very house where Jesus was. And so we see in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. You can imagine the long journey that they had made, and then the conversation that they had with Herod might have shook them a little bit. And then they said, no, we got to keep following this star. And they do. And then they see the star, and it's right over the house. And they go into the house, and there's the king. Well, it's one thing to have expectations of what God will do, right? We believe that God is for us, that God's word is true. And we follow him. And God calls us in his word to worship his son, the Lord Jesus, to put our faith in him. And we read about that. But then it really happens. We really do put our faith in him. And it really is true. And God really is real. And you can imagine the rejoicing that these men had when they see the star and it's right over the house and there's the baby with his mother and all these things that they thought were true really are true. And that's the story of Christmas, right? All the things that we think are true, actually they really are true. It's not a blind faith. This is a faith into the truth that Jesus is who he said he is. Well, they worship Jesus. That's their response to their joy, their rejoicing. They fall down and worship. They fall down and worship him, and then they give him gifts and honor him with their treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then God warns them in a dream not to return to Herod. Well, back to Herod's sinister plan here in verse 13. And now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Joseph heeded the warning. This is another lesson for us. When God gives us warnings in dreams or when God gives us warnings in his word, that we should do what he says and we shouldn't waver. We shouldn't hesitate. And we don't see any hesitation by Joseph, Jesus' earthly father here. It says he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Well, we see Herod scheming and planning stop Christmas and to kill off Jesus before his time. It's not like God was reacting, right, to Herod's plan. He wasn't saying, oh, I didn't know Herod was going to do that. Let me put in plan B. No, this was all prophesied before. Out of Egypt, I called my son. God was sovereign and orchestrating and ordaining all these events to happen. And they happened just as they were supposed to happen. Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience who had been familiar with the prophets and would now see as they read this that all the prophets that Matthew mentions here, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and Hosea, this Old Testament is all pointing to the one who I'm writing about, this king who was born, this Jesus. It's all about him. Well, Herod saw this too, but what Herod could not do was stop God's plan, though he tried. And we read the gruesome end of this passage with all the children 2 years and younger in Bethlehem that were killed. Right, but that was also God's plan. I just taught Sunday school. We talked about Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things. That's a lot of bad things that happen. This is a bad thing that happened to these children, to these young baby boys and their parents. But when they died, they went right into the arms of their father in heaven. Those children, they died, as it were, in Jesus' place. And now they live. And because Jesus, they live because Jesus would live and die in their place. And they died in place of Jesus so that Jesus could die in our place. All things work together for good to those who love God. Well, Herod saw Jesus as a threat, but Herod's plan was no match for God's. And God's plan always rules over ours. God's plan is always fulfilled in the person and work of his Son, the Lord Jesus. God has given us Jesus. He's the gift that we didn't ask for or think that we needed. But now he is the gift that we need, the gift that we want, and the gift who keeps on giving forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have sent us Jesus. That he was born much the same way as any other baby. But Lord, he was born for us, born God with us. And we thank you for him. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to rescue us, to forgive us our sins, to give us life in your name. And now you are our life. We thank you for granting us faith in you. We pray that as we read more and more of your word and look to you and trust in you more and more, that we would see more and more of your truth, that we would know that these things that are said about you are really true. And we know that they are. Every word of God proves true. We thank you, Father, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.